Highway 99.
The Alaskan Way Tunnel.
Aurora Avenue.
It's the mother road of interstate transportation on the West Coast.
And it's time for our final stop along the region's first highway. Over the past few months, a team of KUOW reporters has explored the impact of growth along Highway 99 from North Seattle down to Tukwila. Reporter Joshua McNichols told Kim Malcolm why they followed this road and what they learned along the way.
We're seeing a lot of changes in how Seattle's organized and the region, right? Because profound congestion is sort of changing where we can go. I mean, many cities along 99, many cities in the region are trying to provide alternative ways to add new people that don't add new cars to the road because the roads can't take them anymore, right? Some signs of the transition include like new apartment buildings without parking spaces.
Right.
You know, there's less lanes for traffic and more space for pedestrians and bikes, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So old Highway 99 is a fascinating place to visit. And I've been thinking about it like a volcanic vent at the bottom of the ocean because it's an extreme environment.
Right.
And if these changes can take root there, you know, like life in one of these volcanic vents, then life can exist. This change can exist anywhere. It's a bit of a tortured metaphor, but... I mean, but 99 is closely tied to old patterns of organization arranged around the car. And, you know, in a city like Seattle that's known for its neighborhoods, the neighborhoods along Aurora have, you know, instead of a main street with little businesses that people go to and stuff, it's got a highway at the center, right? But even on 99... on Aurora and then down in Tukwila, you see signs of change taking place.
So what took you by surprise during your reporting?
Well, I was surprised at how different the source and manifestation of changes are at each end of this highway, of Highway 99. I mean, on Aurora Avenue North, mm-hmm. it's kind of bottom up. You've got regular people saying, we'd love to have a different kind of neighborhood here. And in Tukwila, you have the full weight of city leadership adding momentum to that movement.
So folks at the top.
That's right. That's right. So they've accomplished a lot more there. I wasn't aware of how different these two approaches can be in terms of what they can get done until I spend a lot of time down there.
And so how has that worked out for each place?
Well, here's an example on Aurora, for example, in mm-hmm. North Seattle. The state is resurfacing Aurora this summer, and the city had a chance to take advantage of that work and to simultaneously improve sidewalks at the same time. Carolyn Adolph did a story on this.
Right.
And although they're adding a few tiny improvements, they largely passed up the opportunity to make big improvements for, you know, maybe another 10 years or so until the street gets resurfaced again. And contrast that to Tukwila, where leaders have been pushing and pushing for changes since even before they had the power to do so. I mean, they took control of Highway 99 from the state through legislative action. They raided and seized crime-ridden motels and tore them down.
Mm-hmm.
And they sold the land to developers who would build catalyst projects that would change the way people think about that road.
So if there's a moral to the story about Aurora Avenue, what is it?
I think the moral is that inclusive growth is really hard. And I personally, I'm still looking for like what that would look like. In the Seattle metro region that we're building, you know, as we reshape where people live and how they can move around, I'm wondering, are we building it so that everybody can live here? Or are we building it so that people with money can have the city that they want? I mean, that's a big question. In Aurora and Tukwila, we saw two different places along 99 talking about growing inclusively, growing without pushing people further and further out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are these small decisions that you can make as a city official, as a neighborhood activist along the way on whether to include the voices of people who may have less time and resources to go to community meetings. And while all the talk about inclusion is good, it's the weight of sort of the development microaggressions that decides in the end whether minorities and low-income communities can have a place in the sort of new urbanist dreamland that we're building.
KUOW reporter Joshua McNichols, thank you very much.
Thank you.
KUOW's Kim Malcolm talking there with Joshua McNichols. To hear more stories from our Mother Road series, visit KUOW.org.